kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Praise God. Well, I have a title as usual for us to consider, and we're calling our teaching today, Are You Responding to the Doubts and Unbelief? Are you responding to the doubts and unbelief? And we're going to base this from 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, which we know very well. And it says this, Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So the test is knowing that Jesus is in us. That's what we look for. And so are we responding to the doubts and unbelief, which often the trials of our faith expose these doubts and unbelief. And that's why we go through the trials that we do, because that reveals the true man, the true heart, what comes out. You see, the test is whether you experience Jesus Christ in you, because he is our faith. And so, as it says, it's whether you have the believer believing in and through you. Remember that faith to believe is a gift. God finds us. God first loved us. It's not in us to love God. We're not interested in him unless he touches our life and heart. So there we are, the ability to believe in the word of God is given to us by a gift of faith. Otherwise, you cannot respond. You cannot even be born again unless faith to believe in him and in his word is granted and given. That is why the word says, many are called, but few are chosen. And we know how we respond by the word that we hear. Many heard Jesus' words, his teachings, but most didn't follow. And he was only left with 12, and even one of them betrayed him. So it's the mercy and grace of God every time when we come to the word. And when God exposes these doubts and unbelief in us, they are for a reason. It is because he loves us and he wants that unbelief, that hindrance, to be moved from our faith. And nothing than a trial works that. That is why we go through much trial and tribulation of which to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And so we have to examine ourselves. We have to apply these tests. And it seems interesting how God is addressing us at the moment as we're facing this new year. And he seems to be getting us to apply these tests, to look to the heart, to examine ourselves as to where we are. And the Lord will show us if we want to see this, if we want to know. He will give us an understanding, because when doubts and unbelief manifest, and they do, then we deal with it. There's something that we do. And obviously it is that we confess these. We have to recognize the fact there are doubts, there are unbelief, and we have to bring it out into the light before God. In prayer, in discussion, in waiting before him, and allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work, that cleansing work within us. I think that this will be an area that God will continue to work on right up until the time when Jesus comes and raptures and takes us. I don't believe that we ever come to a place where we no longer doubt any longer in that sense. We will always be going through trial and testing right up to the point when he comes, because he says those that endure to the end shall be saved. So what are we enduring? We're enduring all these things, as well as the doubts and the unbelief, as God is working on the heart, circumcising the heart. We looked much, didn't we, on Sunday with regard to the heart. So the thing that we examine ourselves at times is, do I love the Lord? Or is it simply a word or an expression that I use or use before him? But do I really love him? And many times we find that we just have to say, Lord, you know all things. You know what I want. You know that is what I'm believing for, it's to have a heart that loves you. But at the end of the day, you only know the heart of man. You only know my heart. And this is where we have to then hold on to all these promises with regard to God, who looks after the heart, who has the heart of man under control, even though we don't know what's in it. Again, it comes back to believing these promises that God says about our love for him. And we're going to find that our love for him will be tested, and rightly so. It's the same in a relationship. It's the same between a man and a woman. There are times in those relationships where love, in a sense, is tested. Sometimes in testing in a relationship, you need to see your partner, your spouse, that they have that love for you under this trial and testing. And that it's not just lip service, because that's what builds love and respect in a marriage. The same is in relationships, relationships with each of us in the body of Christ. And so how much more with God? And of course, he says one of the tests that we love him is that we keep his commandments. So we find that we have to learn about all of this. We have to be trained in which to keep his commandments. It's not something that we naturally do. The fall of man, sin in the world, has made man rebellious. He certainly isn't someone who keeps commandments. It's not within him. And so God has to teach us all of these godly things. And we see in John, the Gospel of John 13 and verse 34, John 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So there we are. That is how the world knows. That is how you know. That is how each of us knows that we have love one for another. And that must be the ruling force in fellowship, in the church, in our meetings. Our care, our love, our devotion for each other, ready to help in whatever way and capacity we can, and certainly in prayer and intercession. All of that is vital with regard to, do I love the Lord? Because if I love the Lord, then I am willing to be used in which to express his love that he shares with me, with others. And the test is always with the unlovable, those who rub us up the wrong way. And we all are tested with that one. We all of us have been introduced in our walk with somebody that in the natural we just cannot love. And there's the test. And God knows exactly how to get us to love. But really, we're learning, aren't we, as we go deeper with the Lord, that it's the love that has been granted and given to us. It's actually God's love in us that reaches out. It's those rivers of living water that I spoke about on Sunday. And those rivers of living water is the love of God flowing out, because it is so powerful. What does 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8 to 11 tell us? 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. It doesn't mean to say that somebody says, I hate you. It's just their reaction, their attitude, the way they treat you. And so if that is from a professing believer, it says they are in darkness until now. Why are they in darkness? Because they don't see or hear what they're saying, which is contrary to the Father's heart, contrary to the Word of God. And it goes on, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Have you noticed Christians who do not love, who do not express the love of God that is in their heart one to another, actually walk in darkness? We saw a little bit of this just as we were opening up for the meeting. I'm sure most of you read what was going up before us. Sadly, they are people who call themselves Christians, but they are walking in darkness. They are actually lost. They don't belong anywhere. They don't fellowship anywhere. They don't generally go to a church. They just roam around, expounding, talking on things that just comes out of the darkness of their heart. And sadly, it's all around us. So that is what it means, that he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know whether he is going where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. They don't know where they're going. They have no vision. They are not aiming, moving towards the prize of the high calling. They don't know the race that we're supposed to be in. They don't understand seeking, putting first the kingdom of God, is righteousness. It's not there. It's not to be found in them, because they do not know how to love with the love of God. Isn't it tragic? What does it say in 1 John 5? 1 John 5, verses 1 to 3. 1 John 5, verses 1 to 3. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him, who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So there we go. So it is the love of God, his love which we experience, helps and enables us to keep his commandments. You say to me, well, I'm not always as diligent as I should be in keeping his commandments. Well, if you are aware of that, what do you do about it? Do you make it your prayer? Is it something that you bring before God? That you ask God to work in your life, in your heart. Help me, Father, to obey you, to put you first in all things. If you hear yourself saying that, and it is of concern to you, then you can be assured God's love in you is motivating that, in which to pray that. And that's why we get in prayer, we get in our closet, we talk these things out with God. And I think all of us at times have been challenged with that. I have been challenged with that. I have had to be honest and open. Lord, I'm not always keeping your commandments. And it concerns me. And I want to. So you go before him. You see, that is the spirit, that is the love of God that is in your heart, loving the Lord, moving you in that way. This isn't rocket science. Because he says this, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And he says, doesn't he, in verse 3, his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So there's something we're not getting right if they become a burden, a problem. Because he says they're not. If it is motivated by the love of God and your love that you have for him. It's all there in the scriptures. God doesn't make a mistake with his word. And that's why we're calling this teaching today, are you responding to the doubts and unbelief? Because there are times we struggle about the commandments of God. I'm not as I should be doing it. The doubts are there. And so we know what to do in coming before our Heavenly Father. And so you see, the faith that is a gift that he's given to us, it's motivated by the word that we hear. And so as we hear the word, which we're doing today, this is what motivates us. This is what causes us to move and act upon that which we hear. Because faith must be motivated by love. Love and faith and love work together. James says to be not only hearers, but doers of the word. We can only be doers of the word when love is present, which faith needs, you see. And we know that that comes through the new birth. We know that it's God first loved us. He loved me. And so that enables us to be able to respond by that gracious gift of himself he's given to us. But we also know that with faith that works by love, faith also has to have things that are added to it. And we know this well, don't we, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And so it goes on about the trials that we have and so on. So we see then that our faith is given to us. It is the power of God through faith for salvation. And in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, which says here, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find then that our love, our faith which is motivated by love, it will begin to add things to it as we hear the word. As we respond to the word, our faith opens the door for a lot more to be worked within us. If we are diligent, it says, and it says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. So it's no good just having a faith. We need to have to express our faith and how our faith works. And sometimes you have to share that with people. How your faith works, how you're believing and trusting the Lord. We need that self-control. And that is really lacking today in a lot of Christendom. And that emotions and feelings running riot. And yet it says self-control is needed with the power of God working within us. Perseverance and godliness. So we need to stay with it. We need to persevere. God will be faithful. God will answer our prayers. There will be a time for the manifestation of those things that you are believing, confessing, and standing upon the promises of God. He says to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's what we do. We show kindness, not abruptness, not ignoring people, but we show time for one another. And to help in whatever way we can, and to brotherly kindness, of course, love. And he says, if these things are with you, you're not barren. You're not unfruitful. You're not unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all the knowledge that you are learning, which we are learning here in FGA, he says, with that knowledge, your walk is a practical walk. And he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And tragically, that is what happens. Those who slowly fall away, those who are unloving, you will never, ever hear them say, "There go I by the grace and mercy of God." You don't hear that come out of them. They are proud to be chosen. They are proud that their sin has been dealt with. That's what comes out. But it doesn't to those who walk lowly before the Lord. They are reminded from time to time from where they have been brought from, what their life once was, but without Christ in their life. You see? Oh, God knows what he's doing. He makes no mistake in any of this. He really doesn't. Do we also accept the fact that faith is my life? It's my walk. The moment I wake up in the morning, I take this day by faith. Is it that real to you, brothers and sisters? Because it should be. Because that is how we are to walk it. We don't know what the day is going to bring, but we do know because our faith believes that Christ has gone before and prepared this day. And if it may take me by surprise, some things, it will not him. We really do need to know when we wake up, I'm walking this day. My life is a walk of faith. It is a faith that acts, believes, moves in accordance to that which I know in the Word of God. And of course, we know that James chapter 2, verse 17 tells us this. James chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So we don't have a dead faith. That is completely contrary to a living God who lives today, who is alive, living, and also in my heart. That is completely contrary to God's nature and the very gift of faith that he's given you in which to believe. What does it say in verse 20? But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So James says, you are foolish. You're blind, in other words, if you think you can have faith and faith doesn't have its works. In other words, acting, standing, believing upon the word, upon the promises of God. I've just been going through a trial recently with a bad eye infection, which lasted for over a month. But I settled it with God. I received my healing. I thank the Lord that this cost him everything. The stripes on his back. This is what he wrought for me. Wholeness in mind, body and spirit. And yes, it started to get worse like it does. Very bad shooting pains in the back of the eye. Yes, the devil gets very vocal. You better go to the doctor. This is serious, what's happening. And all sorts of things going on. But no, I said, either I walk this or I don't. God doesn't make a mistake. And so you stand on the word. And yes, it took a while. Yes, I got delivered, healed of it. I walked in that healing for a week, thanking the Lord. And then the devil tried to put it back on me. But you see, I know what he gets up to. And God was allowing that just to make sure that I was believing. Praise God, I have the full manifestation. God doesn't make a mistake with us. And this is why he's dealing with these doubts, these fears, these doors that we still have open in our minds that the enemy tries to get through and buffet and growl like that lion. But you see, you have to settle these things, and that is why you go before your Father. You talk it out. You remain in his presence, particularly when a trial comes. And then you know you're ready to stand upon the word of God. And the attacks always give themselves away because the enemy starts to become very vocal and he's trying to say all that he's saying. And then you say to yourself, now, why are you saying that, Satan? Why are you having a go? Because you know that my Father has answered my prayers according to his word. And yes, I came against the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. It is written, Satan. God is testing us on this, brothers and sisters. He really is, to those who are talking it and those who are believing it. And if you have problems, then respond to those doubts. Why the Lord tarries. And are we believing and accepting the fact that our faith will ultimately deliver us from the world? Or do we still love it too much? That should be one of the things at the top of the list. That God will continue to deliver me from this world, the deception, the idolatry of the world. Because at times we find ourselves compromising with it. And that is only because there are still those doubts, that unbelief that's still working there. And so what does he say in 1 John 5? 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So there it is. You have to believe. That is your confession. That is what you are saying. When the enemy is trying to get you to compromise, to side with the world, to side with the family or whatever it is, I have overcome the world by my faith that God has graciously given me. That is what is written. We are to use the sword of the Spirit, what is written. This will start to deal with those doubts and unbelief. You have been given authority to say to the powers of darkness, it is written, Satan. Because they're not my words. This is Almighty God's word. And then you start to see the breakthroughs. And finally, as we resolve this teaching today, in John 16, John 16 and verse 33, John 16 and verse 33, indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So that is what he said there. would happen. But he said, I am not alone, even though they will scatter, because he's one with the Father. And whatever happens to us, whatever, if some don't any longer want to walk with you or fellowship with you anymore, you are still drawing your strength, your life, your hope from him, from his word, in every situation. You see, when we read these things, what our Lord went through, we go through similar at times. And we find sometimes that there are those who don't want to be with us anymore or fellowship with us anymore because we love Jesus. But it doesn't matter. We're not affected by that because we're drawing our strength from him. Because he says, in me you have peace, in the world you will receive tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so this is what it is, these things I've spoken to you, you have my peace. In the world you're going to have trial, tribulation. He says, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And he's saying this because they're going to flee from him. And they did. Even the disciples couldn't keep awake with him on the night that he was betrayed. And they fled. They betrayed him. That's a great trial and testing. But he was a man of faith, and we are people of faith. And at the end of the day, we draw this from God. How we need to stand on these promises in God's word, what we read. And how we need in our trials and our testings and temptations to quote this word, to use this word, the sword of the Spirit, that it is written. That is what I believe. My faith is in that. And the enemy, he won't stay around for too long. He cannot bear that when you are quoting God's word, because it's God's word that has defeated him at Calvary. And no finer way of dealing with your doubts and unbelief is when we use this word, the sword of the Spirit, and God expects us at times in which to use it. So there we are. Are you responding to the doubts and unbelief? Friends, we can't go wrong in this. We really can't. And don't believe the devil's lies and all that he says. God has gone before. He's got our life under complete control. And our faith that he's given to us is a faith that is motivated by love and grace and mercy. And that is why our faith will respond and embrace all, even the unlovely, the unlovable. Because that is what faith does. So there we are. Are you responding to the doubts and unbelief? Praise God. Mighty God.
Let him in constancy follow.